Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think of, well, y'all say you can't do this, you can't do this, and you can't do certain things.
It don't matter
how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. It's a must. It's not just an optional way, another plate building to get into and just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
God, we just want to, we will, Father God, we teach tonight all four, and Father God, let the seed, and we Lord God, we ask that we let us catch the delivery where you are. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. vineyard. I'm holding up. We are pastors, Hampton, Georgia. We are planning a prison in Georgia around God in food, drink, entertainment. We're real. Singing, rapping, gospel rapper. Then we have our sister, Jean Rip. She'll be coming. There are other artists and ministers like to praise the God. You can call us or share. But the main thing is to reach someone from beyond these four walls. You got to go out in the vineyard. That's how we're talking on biblical principles of sowing and reaping. When you sow in the kingdom, you're going to reap the benefits. And I'm not just talking about in the natural, but in the spiritual. So God is called to warn you. God is called. He said, go out in highways and byways and come. So this is what we are planning to do in Kempton, Georgia. In this June 2014. God bless you. Or maybe you don't have it. Financial. We can use financial. Pray about it and ask God what he wants. And so with that, we're going to go with our message. And after I I'll conclude with what I have but tonight, our scripture text is coming out of scripture coming from Galatians 6, 7, we'll start at the seventh verse. Okay, the law of sowing. This is what God has established. She said, be not deceived. God is not. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit, everlasting. And let us not be weary well doing. For in due season, I want to address this of the labor life. But God said here, be not weary well doing. For in due season we shall reap if we as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially unto them of the household of faith. Yea, see how large a letter I have written unto you. This is what Paul was saying. With my own hand, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised with what about that? Only lest they should suffer persecution. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, say, in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me. And I am in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature, and as many as walk according to this rule, be on them, and mercy upon Israel God, from with his word, let no man trouble me. My brother, my body. Brethren, praise of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. And we're going to talk more about that, the circumcision. And this is what the Judaizers were doing. And this, it was bringing a lot of discord and a lot of falsity in the body of Christ. Our job as preachers should be common denominator, like I say so many times, is Jesus Christ, the cross, him. That's what we should be pushing. And if anybody comes teaching you something other than the Bible says that him be anathema, which is a curse. The apostle begins this text with a warning. This is what Paul said. He gives a warning first. He said, be not deceived. The word deceived literally means led astray. Don't we see that? We see a lot of preachers who say they of God teaching their own message. It's not false. It's another Jesus. Listen to what they're saying. That's why you need to have discernment. He said, means to be led astray. That's what deceived means. It's like to be led astray either by yourself or by someone else. The world is filled with people who have been deceived. People who think that the lie is the truth and the truth is the lie. That's why so few people care anything about the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus. They have been deceived into thinking that the gospel is a lie. But they don't even want the gospel. When you come teaching the gospel of Christ, they'll throw it up. Because they've been watered down. This is another Jesus been taught to them to make them think that what these false teachers is teaching them is the gospel. It has nothing to do with the cross. They want to show you. They'll tell you, sowing and reaping means give me your money. So you get a lot of stuff. Now, there are good principles in sowing into the kingdom. We'll get into that. But it's not for to fat the belly of some of these greedy preachers. They use you. They merchandise out of you. If you want some good now, sowing into the kingdom of God when people was out here reaching the wall, taking the soul. We're not telling you to sow into the ministry just so we can get big homes and nice cars, clear jets. We're asking you to sow into the ministry so we can bring souls into the kingdom. Did you hear what I said? That's why so many people think that the gospel is a lie. They have bought into the lie that it don't take long. That as long as I got my four for us, four no more, I'm okay. I'm not seeking God for righteousness' sake. I'm seeking him for materialism's sake. Let's go on. They follow the devil instead of the truth because he has deceived them into thinking that his word, rather than God's word, is truth. That's why we need pastors. We need men of God that's going to stand and proclaim the truth, the unadulterated word of God. This is what we need, saints. And you see there is a great falling away. We read of the devil and his deception in Revelation 7, verse 5. And the great dragon, Satan, was cast out, that old serpent of the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. That's why you got to have your heart. That's why you got to have the word of God in your heart. You got to have them deep in your heart because there's a lot of deception going on, it looks like truth. And if you don't have the word, because you can't distinguish what is true. Okay, we know he was cast out to the devil, Satan. So his main focus and his demon is to deceive you. If they can bring deception, a strong delusion, they're going to pull you away from God. This is what I'm telling you. It may sound good. It may look good. But deep down inside, there's a root of deception to pull you away from the faith. I tell any preacher, if you teach us something that is pulling people away from the cross, you are false. And you need to get yourself. Because our main focus should be drawing people to the cross. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. He didn't say draw a man unto a bishop or to a church title or to a denomination. He said, I will draw all men unto me. Okay? So we know that from the beginning of history, Eve was deceived. Even though they had got the mandate from God not to touch a particular tree, that devil, that cunning, deceptive, satanic, talked to her ear. He talked to her to tell her that you will not surely. Now, if God say you're going to die, if God say be not deceived, Satan going to tell you, no, that don't mean you. He said, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Talk about all this false deception. You sowing it out there. You're going to reap for this false deception that you feed to God's name. So we know how Eve was tricked. He deceived her so that she thought that his word was true. In the word of God. And the devil has been doing that ever since and will continue to do that until the end of age. That is his job. That old serpent, the deceiver, Satan, that he's a deceiver. He likes to put lies in you. He can twist the truth to make you believe a lie. And that is not long. He has raised up many false prophets, like I said, and false teachers follow him and leading people astray. They got a lot of false doctrine not telling you there is no death. Everything is bliss. Everybody's going on to heaven. You can live like hell, but you're going to heaven. You can go out there and murder, kill, unrepentant, but you're going to heaven. That's a lie. God don't want to see no one perish. He wished that all would come unto repentance. That's why we talked before you had to do these on the cross. One had a repentance. The other one had sowing. Talking about sowing. Sowing. What are you sowing? What are you sowing? And we're going to talk about sowing to the flesh. But this particular sowing and reaping that I'm coming from is talking about Jesus was sowing a false gospel, and it was not of God. What they were teaching was damnation to the house of God. God said, be not deceived. That's wrong. Jesus speaks of this in Matthew 24, verse 25. He said, Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. He said, for many shall come in my name. Don't you not say I am Christ, and shall deceive many. We see that all about us right now. Many people, hundreds, thousands, millions of people, believe and following false Christ rather than true Christ. This is also why the people, he said, there are so many, so much sin, so much wickedness in the world today. If we just let's roll back the clock maybe 20 years. You see stuff happening today that you never in the dream. We just had the incident Shetty and hacked his mom and dad to death right here in Atlanta. The heart is hardened. That's why God is calling for pastors and preachers to go out in the vineyard. Go out there and work. He said, whatsoever is right, I will pay you. I know some of you may be struggling in the ministry right now, but don't think that God is taking, he's not taking notice of that. Do you hear what he said? Be not weary in well doing. So I don't want you to get sad and deceived and thinking that God don't believe that he ain't going to do it for you. He ain't going to do it. Okay, we said thousands have been deceived. There's a relationship between truth and holiness and the lie and sin. Didn't I just say that? You have preachers supposedly of the gospel telling you that it's okay. You know, you can go on and sin. But we know Jesus is our advocate. We know grace, we know mercy. If it had not been for mercy and grace, I would be. What is the church telling you? Are they telling you to continue in sin? Paul said, God forbid. You can't continue in this, on one side holiness, and then through the week you live in unholy. That's why we have to teach the truth. The truth leads to godly living. Can I say that again? The truth leads to godly living. The lie leads to wicked living. If a man does not have the truth, he can do nothing but sin. That's why you see a lot of times the gospel has been so watered down so people can't appreciate or accept sin. So now you have Christians, quote, I use that word loosely, they live just like the world. They acting just like the world. They doing things just like the world. You see what I'm saying? We supposed to be a light set aside. Amen? But if the pastors or the preachers or the evangelists or the teachers is not teaching, guess what? They ain't going to put that in the step. They going to have you think that is true. The law leads, like I said, to wicked living. If a man does not have the truth, he can do nothing but sin. If a man is to live a godly life, he must know and love truth. That is why it is for us to have a knowledge of truth. You cannot even think of being godly as doing of living Christ's life if you are not the gospel of Jesus Christ. The whole of our Christian life rest upon truth. So that's why back in Paul in the apostles' time, when they saw someone bring a lie, they didn't even tell you. They even got sick that they don't even have to eat with that person. When he bringing deception into the body, you cannot call him a brother. But now you say, oh, just pray for him. No, because a little leaven is the whole lump. You start bringing deception in the body of Christ, before you know it, nobody is going to be deceived. That's why he gave us a warning, be not deceived. If we are deceived, he said, if we are deceived with respect to truth, it will be very destructive, thing in our heart. Watch yourself carefully that you do not be deceived, that you are not deceived by yourself and by your own humanistic thinking. That you are not deceived by the false teachers and false prophets out there in the world. The apostle is not talking about deception in general. He is talking about a very specific deception. Notice in verse 7, he said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. One of the greatest joys of the devil and of the false teachers is to deceive you. Listen to this. Into thinking that you can sow and not reap what you sow. See what I'm saying? That is the great deception. And we see all throughout the Bible how men, great renowned men, Samson, David, they sold to the flesh and they didn't reap. Now God forgave them, but Lord, look at the consequences that they had to pay by sowing the flesh. See, God had told Samson, you don't mess with the Philistine women. He disobeyed God. Look at Adam and Eve. Disobeyed God. David looked over there and saw another man's wife. Disobeyed God. The consequence, you can't get in the blood. But something is you have to, it's going to be consequences. Let's take it hypothetically. A young lady go out and get pregnant. And she repents. She's sorry. You still got a baby. Now, God can turn that situation around where you can go on off to college and be productive. But the thing is, you still have the baby. Young men, you go out there, you murder somebody out of being hot-headed or hooked up in a gang. You get caught, you're still going to do it. You still got to do time. Oh, yeah, you can repent. I'm not saying you can't. But that's the consequence. That's what sowing to the flesh results. You bankers, you out there stealing and embezzling money. You may get caught. You're going to do time, or you may have to pay it back. things. You have to sow into the flesh. You're going to reap it. Yes, you can repent. But why not save yourself the hate? And just what we said earlier, just get the word and you can overcome certain things. He's not talking. And like I said, the devil and his false teachers would like you to think that certain things you will not reap. The devil would like us to think that we can do evil, that we can sin, that we can live a wicked life and still reap good instead of evil. And I, you know, some of this is just sickness. They tell you, some of these preachers, and in gospel deities, I say tell these evangelists, they tell you, as long as you sow in my ministry, they say, they're talking about money. They said, as long as you're giving me money, you can live like hell, don't make it easy. Your seed is blessed. Isn't that, come on TV. All they're talking about is sow a seed. Sow a seed. God is telling somebody to give a $1,000 seed. What about your soul? What about your life? You see what I'm saying? But they only thinking about filling their belly with money. They ain't concerned about your soul. Sow into the seed. Sow into the ministries where you know the people are out there doing work. Why don't you stop supporting them? If you stop supporting them, then they'll have to get up the air. A lot of you have been lied to. And this is what I'm talking about, deception. You've been lied to. Look here. Look at the camera. You've been lied to by these false teachers telling you that if you give them $1,000, in 7 days, you're going to get $7,000. Give to them because you base that on ignorance. And you base it on greed. Why do you think he said, be not weary? Sometimes you may not get it overnight. God will take notice of what you are given. But you are sown in the kingdom. Wouldn't you rather sow eternal life? All this stuff going to pass away.
Material needs down here.
And he takes care of them. That should be the basis of our teaching, is how to get more junk. We do all kinds of wickedness, and when we die, they tell you, you can do all kinds of wickedness, and the devil deceives you and say, and when you die, you're still going to go to heaven. So that's unfair to people who are trying to do something. If you can live that kind of way, I'm repentant, and everybody going to heaven, heaven is real, everybody going to heaven. Well, what about the people, the disciples who died for the very gospel? Some of them was split in two. Some of them was beheaded for teaching the word of God. And you think you can just skip on up in there living like hell. I got news for you. The devil is lying. The Judaizers, and this is what I'm talking about, they were examples of such deceived people. They thought that all they had to do was follow some outward ritual, some observance, like observing certain things, and then they would be Christians. It did not matter that there was nothing in their heart. They just went on the outward, like they were. They didn't even know how to act like Christians. But God was looking at that heart, the deception. It did not matter that they trusted in themselves and their own work instead of Christ. It did not matter that they were Christians and they were going to heaven. They were true. They thought that they could sow and not reap what they sow. And that is the case with so many who profess to be Christians today. I commit all kinds of sins. They lie, they cheat, they steal, they commit adultery. But just because they have asked Jesus into their heart, they think that they are under the blessing. They have the best of both worlds. They sin, but they reap the blessings of being a Christian. Isn't that all you hear? Oh, I'm getting mine now. I need my stuff. Why don't you ask God in your heart to change it?
to change the perversion, to change the lie, the deceit. Somebody been lying to you. Until you humble yourself at the cross and ask God to come into your heart, you're going to be in a... You say, this is terrible, Wiggins. This is the only... This is not only being deceived, but the deceit is mocking the Almighty God. That is what the text says. It's that God is not mocked. That means that when we are deceived with respect to this particular principle, we mock God. And the word mock here means to turn your nose snoot at or sneer at God. That is what we do when we are deceived in this particular. So you see, you might say, I don't say it verbally. But when you say, God know my heart. Or I can do what I want to do. Who are you? You can't judge me. Then you're sneering at God. Because God say holiness. Holiness. Be not mocked. God is not mocked. Be not deceived. You see? But they think that they can sow and not reap. That what we sow is to mock God in our hearts. Why? Because this rule is God's rule. God established this principle. Even in the natural, when you sow seed, there's a time to plant. There's a time to reap. Even the ground knows this principle. You put a seed in there, 21 days, something's going to sprout up. So if you sow into the flesh, what are you? He said you're going to reap corruption. If you sow to the spirit, you're going to reap spiritual blessings, the spiritual things. That's what the wheat, they get everything. And get anything else but wheat. Therefore, when the wicked, who never read the Bible, never listen to a sermon, know this, know that this is God's rule of creation round about them, to think that you can frustrate this rule, to think that you can sow and not reap, what you sow, therefore, it's not God. Why did nature even know? So, why would you not believe to the flesh, unrepentant, sneering at God, don't want anybody to tell you the truth? When somebody tells you the truth, you tell people, you can't judge me. You don't have a right to. But you have a stony heart. God will not be mocked. That is what Paul is saying. God is not mocked. Does not mean that man can't lift his nose up to God. But God is saying, you're gonna pay for everything you've done. So that's why as Christians, as teachers, we have to be careful what we teach. We have to make sure everything we teach is lining up with the Word of God. We have to make sure that, Lord, if it's something in me, take it out. Is that saying we're perfect? No, but I mock myself after the perfect. I have the Holy Spirit living in my heart. You know, a lot of churches don't even want to teach. They don't even want to teach on the power that is able to. They tell you that a little devil do you. You come up there, you say a few words, you say, but they don't teach you how to live saved. That's why we need shepherds. That once we get the sheep, we're out in the field working. But when we bring them to the house, continuation of being fed the Word of God, so they can grow, so they can mature. That's what good pastors do. Everybody. Drive a benzo. That shouldn't be the gist of why you get in the ministry. Didn't I just tell you? Paul said it was admirable to sow seed in the ministry, for that the pastors the true word of God. But I'm not telling you that you should sow to preachers that their main goal is to get multi-billions of dollars and leave you out. Jesus didn't do it. He was always out and about in the community, taking care of the needs, killing, raising the dead. Where
sisters that have a passion and love for God. What are you looking at? For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the spirit of the spirit shall reap, listen, life everlasting. For these words, it is clear that the apostle is applying this general principle to moral, ethical, spiritual. So broke it down natural. And that's how we should do it as ministers. We always give you the moral. We show your spirit. He uses the words like flesh, corruption. In spirit, he says eternal life. These are spiritual concepts. So you see, you may not see it right now. And even in the natural, God do provide for you. God do take care. But what and I'm pretending how I was going to say, sneer at God. And that's mocking God. That's what he did. If you be the Son of God, take yourself. That's mocking God. The other repentant, soften, humble. Say, God, remember, we know we deserve to get drunk. But we know you ain't did nothing wrong. But Lord, remember me. And Jesus said, this day, and I'm just paraphrasing. He said, this day, you shall be with me. See, that's a repentant heart. But someone mocking God, they don't want you. Oh, you can't take nothing. Oh, God is all right with me. You see? Haughty, full of pride, the humblest pastor. Full of pride. You've been lying to me. Telling people if they sow that seed, they're going to get a dollar. So tell them how to get the true gifts, the word of God. You can't put a price tag on the word of God. Stop lying to them. Now, I told you before, God can give you material things, but that should not be the gist of why you bring people in the kingdom. You got all kinds of gimmicks, all kinds of rituals, all kinds of little things that you're doing to lure people up in there. You should teach the word. And let God draw. God know how to draw people, and God know how to. You don't need gimmicks. Stop it. So with that, I just want to bring that out. He said, "For a person might sow to the flesh without committing any of these outward sins. One sows to the flesh also when he is entirely occupied with the things of this world." With earthly things, with materialistic things. They're not. A man may be very honorable. He may be religious. But if he doesn't look to heavenly things, if he does not see Christ, the gospel, and the truth, then he too sows to the flesh. That's why I told you earlier, as preachers, we have to continually search our hearts. Because a lot of times you can get caught up on the wrong motive of what you're doing. If you're doing teaching the word to bring gratification to yourself, and you're pulling people away from the cross, you're in the flesh. But if you're doing it all because you want to draw to the cross of Jesus Christ, then you're doing it in the spirit. We got to reevaluate our motive. When you love God, that love is going to keep you. It's going to compel you to go out in the highways and byways. It's going to compel you to get on Blog Talk Radio or YouTube. Because you don't know who's listening. You don't know who needs this gospel. Am I saying we're the only ones? No. God have many who are out there doing this. But like I said, but you have a lot of false teachers and preachers. Look like in the last 40 years, thousands have just sprung up out of anywhere. And I can do some names called discernment. So you will know
But everybody that tack a Christian on their sign or on their doorpost, you better line that with the Word of God. I ain't talking about these self-seeking, money-grubbing preachers, which is in view in this text, but rather those like pastors who they may not have a lot, but they have a 10-year-old car. Or, and I'm not saying all of them do. Some of them have nice homes. Some of them work, like me and my husband. We work. We work. God has blessed us. You know? Am I rich? No. By no means. But we work by day. We work by night. Now, you got some preachers in third world countries or some other countries that they barely, they have to eat squirrels or whatever they have to do to feed their family. Whack, raggedy shit. Look, saints, stop, America. Sometimes you just get so one-track and you don't think about our brothers and sisters that's being persecuted for the gospel. You don't think about it. Because you living good. You got a nice home. You got a nice car. That's why God put the burden on our hearts when we team up. We're going to, oh, I get the home. Yeah, Ken, Georgia, you got some homeless people. Everybody ain't living or driving Benzos. My Lord, you got some homeless people. And that's the one God targeted out there. Rejects of no, America, don't be so haughty, thinking that, you know, you're the only one who got it like that. Yeah, brother. This is what I'm saying. Let's come refocus. Let's refocus. See, because the Judaizers is the one that can. And we may not call them Judaizers today, but we they can bring that good deception. So with that, I want to just pray for you. You're blessed. Also, know here that if God with this and we have some sponsors out there. God has blessed you. Hey God, so in the place where you know people are being ever. Amen. So with that, I hope I was a blessing to you. We're here to pray with you. We love you. We need prayer. KOG. Amen. If you're in the can, join the air. The place to hook up. Love the word. Teach the word. You need deliverance. If you got demons, we can get it out. You don't have to be tormented by demon possession, demon oppression. We got a team here in Georgia that we can get together and we can get you set free. You don't have to be tormented. That's what the ministry came to, set the captives free. I don't want to see people sitting behind these four walls of the church every Sunday and you're bound up. You're being oppressed, depressed by demonic forces. That should be so. Jesus is a healer. Jesus healed me. Jesus healed. We're going to have some brothers and sisters have beautiful tests. No, the miracles haven't stopped. But a lot of churches just stopped teaching about it. When you go to church on Sunday, you should go with the expectation of wanting to see the moving spirit. There should be some kind of manifestation, signs and wonders being displayed in the body of Christ. But see, they've been watered down, so the only expectation they got people to think about and people get excited about is receiving some money or material stuff. Oh, you get hyped up when somebody starts telling you how to get some money, more cars, bigger homes. Yeah, that hype you up. That gets you grabbed up. But start talking about the things of God. Start talking about the Word. How the Word wants to saturate your heart. How the Word can break bondages. How set free. It can set people free. It can drive devils out your home. You don't want to have water down. So we're just praying that guys, but whenever we pray, know that we're about to call. And I ask that prayer that we will be blessed. Pastor Bobby.
Praise the Lord. Our people, God has forced us forth. And we're talking about the biblical sowing and reaping. Now, as you have already heard, we've been talking about sowing and reaping, and we've basically been talking about the spiritual aspect of it. Now, what I would like to bring out at this point is that some various laws in reference to sowing. What I want to bring out right now is that some laws of sowing and reaping of laws of sowing. Now, the first law I want to bring out to you is that is a choice. You make up your mind to sow. You make up your mind to give a certain amount. Now, in this day and time, people sow most. But in the times of Paul, and in the times of the apostles, and the time of Christ, they sowed what they had. At that time, people didn't just have what they had. But they made a choice. So this is the first thing. That sowing. Secondly, is that you know what you are. In other words, we're talking agriculture here. Now, at this particular point, people sow that the farmer knows his. The second thing, the third thing is, you reap what you sow. Fourthly, you reap much more than you sow. Fifthly, you reap in a different season than you sow. I'm going to go back over these things, and I'm going to bring out some more in this area now. You said the farmer knows his crop. Now, what this means is sowing is an investment. Did you hear what I said? Investment, what that basically means is you're going to take something. You're going to put it in an investment, and you're looking for it to manifest or come to fruition sometime. You're not really looking at it right now. You're looking at it in the future. That's why I was based on agriculture or farming. Put a seed in the ground. Now, when you put that seed in the ground tonight, you're not going to get up tomorrow morning and harvest that. It takes a while. So it's investment. Now, the farmer is careful. He's equipped to sow and reap in accordance with the nature of his crop. All right? He has the land. He has the right equipment. He understands the calendar, or he understands when the crop or the seed that he's planting is supposed to come. He knows the cultivation schedule. He knows the water and the nutrients necessary for the crop to yield its intended result. And if he's careless, he can lose everything. That's part of someone. You have to know doing. If you don't wait on the harvest, and if you don't have faith in God, the enemy can come and steal. When God has, we're talking about sowing and reaping, but we're also talking about the biblical principles of sowing. So you reap what you sow. You're not going to go out there and a corn seed in the ground and then go out there and expect some green. You're going to expect corn. Now this is interesting right here, because when you're sowing, you're going to reap much more than you sow. So when you plant a seed out there, you're not going to go out there to harvest just one plant or one seed, because that seed is going to multiply, and when you go to harvest, you see much more than what you plant. And then I'm just bringing out some laws. Now, I'm going to get into it in just a little bit. But then it also says you reap in a different season than you. So you might plant a seed today, but when it comes to harvest, it's going to be as a different. Now, those are some laws of sowing. Now, that was in a natural realm in reference. Natural seed. But we want to deal with the spiritual aspect of it. I want you to remember these things, because I'm going to get into something a little different. Now, what was said to you earlier, if you notice, Paul spoke very good about finances. He was talking about, I'm going to bring out some things. Mrs. Montgomery, she brought out a whole lot in reference to sowing and reaping and everything in that regard. And I'm going to go along the same line. A little different. Now, it says sowing and reaping is a very special relevant to the problem of the Galatians. But what we want to remember, that this is a model for the whole entire body of Christ. So it's not just to the Galatians, it's to all believers in Christ. All right? So we don't want to say that that was then. So it doesn't have anything to do with now. Yes, it has to do with now. Because those things are still going on. What did Solomon say? There's nothing. So the word of God is relevant in all times, to all people, and especially God's people. Now, let me get into some things. Now, sowing and reaping stresses the responsibility of the saint with service to the sovereignty of God. Now, what does that mean? Well, that is actually saying that the fruit of the Spirit are the produce of God's grace in the life of the Christian. When Paul speaks of sowing and reaping in chapter 6, he places the emphasis on that which we are to do. You understand? But in a way, that reminds us as well that it is God who gives the fruit. God gives the fruit. And he also gives the seed. The farmer does not produce grain. He sows grain. He tends to field. And then God gives. The imagery of farming thus adequately balances the matter of divine sovereignty and human responsibility. So that's one. Sowing and weaving stresses the responsibility of the saint without doing a disservice to the sovereignty of God. We're talking about biblical principles of sowing and reaping. Biblical principles of sowing and reaping, too. And then reaping helps us gain an effective. So sowing and reaping are separated by time. I'll say that again. Sowing and reaping are separated by time. Sowing is the beginning of the process, while reaping is the culmination of it. When the farmer sows his field, he must do so in faith. You sow in faith. Faith to who? To God. You're giving into the kingdom of God so that people can come to know the truth of the gospel in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. That's what you're sowing for. For the salvation of people's souls. Not so much for you to get everything you want in life, although God will supply your needs. But you're sowing into the kingdom for people to be saved and to be delivered and to be set free and for bondages to be broken off of the lives of people to break the yoke of the enemy. That's how it should be looked at. So don't just look at it as I'm just giving something away. No. I'm doing it. And one thing I want to say is God is the wealth of God is past our understanding. In other words, what I'm saying, he doesn't need your money. Men and women of God do. But why do they need it? Because it takes material, carnal things, money, to get the gospel out there. And so we must do that. So it's not like, you know, we just begging. No. Sowing and reaping is not about begging. It's about the kingdom of God. And that's what Paul was saying. And I'm going to get into that a little later. It said nearly everything which the farmer does, he does in the light of what he hopes to be the outcome. So it is with the spiritual life that for the present holding fast to the gospel of God's grace will often result in present now and suffering. Oh, you mean that's a part of sowing and reaping suffering? The scriptures. Because think of this. Do you think the enemy, the devil, wants you to support the gospel of Jesus? Do you think the devil wants you to help people to be delivered? So what's going to happen? You're going to put into the kingdom, and the enemy's going to try to. So that means that you might have to go through some denial and some suffering. You're going to have to deny yourself, take up the cross of Jesus Christ, and follow him. That's what it means. God is not going to cause persecution on you. You know what God says, and God. Enemies, the devil. That means persecution and suffering is going to come on you, even though you are doing in obedience to God and you're sowing and you're reaping. So that basically means that you're doing what is right to God. The disciples said that happened. Persecution. You're going to be persecuted. But you're going to be persecuted. Why? Jesus. Why? Because you're doing what Jesus said. And the world doesn't want to do it. But you're holding on. You're pressing. You do it. And God. To say, the principles of sowing and reaping reminds us that our sowing will ultimately be rewarded by our reaping. You see? So when you sow, you are going to reap. But you have to. because there's a time to sow and there's a time. You're not going to reap at the same time. You're going to sow at the same time you're reaping. There's a time element involved. And God knows that time. But what he said was, you will reap when you sow. What are you sowing? You're sowing into the kingdom of God. So you're going to reap the things which are of the Spirit of the living God. Now listen to this. This may only be the preoccupation with present prosperity and praise was the result of the sight, that said if they ever had the sight of the Lord, of eternity. Our whole basic in our sowing is eternity. The whole basis of our sowing is in salvation. The whole basis of our sowing, whatever we sow from our heart, is for the kingdom of God to be manifested on the earth, and to God manifest himself through us so that people can recognize and see Christ Jesus and desire the Lord. That's what our sowing and reaping is about, mostly. Now, God will supply our needs to his richest glory. And he will give us some of the things that we want. But you reap. That was said earlier. I'm going to get into some updates. And now, three, Paul's principle of sowing and reaping reminds us that we will reap what we have sown. Now, we're going to kind of turn this thing a little bit and kind of flip it. When one sows wheat seed, he expects to reap wheat. Paul employs the image of sowing and reaping to show the direct correlation between what is done in this life and what we reap in the connection there. According to Paul, we have two choices as what we will sow in this life. We can either sow to the Spirit or we can sow to the Now, the reason Paul was speaking and realizing was because they were sowing to the flesh. In other words, their main concern was in this life, not so much in the next life, or not so much in eternity, or not so much the things of Christ, or in the things of the Spirit, outward shows. And that's what the When you reap to the flesh, you're basically yourself. You have made yourself an idol. You're not that much concerned about the things of God. You're not so concerned about the salvation of others. You care less if somebody is set free. You care less if someone is saved. You care less if someone is delivered from a satanic oppression, demonic possession. You are delivered from some kind of infirmity or sickness. You don't care about that. You care about yourself. You care about what you can get in this life. Own little world, and you're not concerned about the life or the world of others. Jesus Christ was, the apostle wasn't like that. And Jesus proved that when he came down, he destroyed the works of the enemy. By setting people, by casting out devils, by raising the dead, by preaching the word, by preaching the gospel, the word of the living God, by preaching the kingdom of God. And then he topped it off by living, by being crucified, cross, by going into the grave, being raised up on the third day, and by being seen of many witnesses, and by being on earth 40 days after his resurrection, and then being resurrected up into the heavens. And then he thought and loved us enough that he sent the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, to us to guide us and teach us all the things of the Word of God and keeping us. So when he was sown, we reap We reap the kingdom of heaven. We reap spiritual things. We reap eternal life from what our Lord and Savior sown when he sowed his life. We obtain life through him. So we are basically reaping the life of God through Jesus Christ. He was not thinking about all this carnal stuff. He was not thinking about being rich this night. But he gave us the richness of the kingdom. So if he sold like that, how much more should we sell in what we know of the kingdom? But the Lord is nothing we can do. There's nothing we can do. Life. And when we read eternal life, read the things, there's well, we're talking about biblical of sorts. Now, I'm gonna get into some other things. Now, sowing to the Spirit, listen, is investing our resources in those things which are spiritual and thus eternal. This is not for the flesh. So you can't do fleshly things and reap spiritual things. It doesn't work. Neither will you reap spiritual things by sowing in the flesh. It doesn't work that way. You're either going to sow in the Spirit or you're going to sow in the flesh. But when whatever you sow in, that's what you're going to reap. So if you reap into the flesh, if you sow into the flesh, you're going to reap fleshly, carnal things that pull you away from the Spirit. Do you understand? That's the nature of sowing and reaping. So you can't get it away when you've sown into that, whatever it is. Now listen to this. The war which is reaped is it. Now when you reap into the Spirit, when you sow into the Spirit, you're going to reap eternal life and everything connected with eternal life. But when you're reaping to the flesh, you're going to reap, when you sow into the flesh, you're going to reap everything connected with the flesh, whatever it is. Now, in addition to the blessedness of a God, that's a part of spiritual sowing. Now, the counterpart to sowing to the Spirit is sowing to the flesh. Now, by the emphatic reference to sowing to his own flesh, let's look at this thing. Paul underscores the self-centeredness of this pursuit. Sowing to the flesh, which is physical, mortal, and thus passing rather than eternal. In other words, when you sow to the flesh, you're only concerned with what's happening now, what's in it for me, right? That's sowing to the flesh. I want it now. I'm not in what God is talking about, to eternity or in reference to the future. I got to have it now. I got to have it now. I'm not concerned with me, mine, and whatever else. That's on. Now, let's talk about. When you're talking about going to the flesh, you're going for the gusto. You got to grab. The habit. But when you're talking about things of the Spirit, it involves faith. It involves temperance. Yes, temperance. To control, yes. The ability to wait on God. The ability to rebuke the enemy. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. That's what it says. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. When you're sowing in the spirit, when you're sowing into the kingdom of God, you will get what God will have for you in the spirit, which is the ability to resist the enemy and not fall into fleshly desires. Now, when I say not fall into fleshly desires, I mean fleshly desires that separate you from the things of God. Because we are in the flesh. We have flesh and bone. So we need to pay our bills. We need to put clothes on. We need to take care of ourselves. We need to take care of our families. We will have some concerns, but those carnal and fleshly things, we don't sow into them to the point that it separates us from God. The principles of sowing and reaping. Yes, you are going to sow something to the flesh, but it should not lead to sin and separation from God. I want to say it. And the call of people coming and getting saved, getting delivered, getting set free. Our sowing and reaping should all be in Christ Jesus. Him crucified. All right? Let's go on to some other things. Now, we're talking about biblical principles of sowing and reaping. Now, one thing I would like to say, you said so many times you sow what you reap what you sow. Now, you can look all over the world. You can see a lot of evil. Well, people are sowing it. And they're reaping it. And at the same time they're sowing and reaping evil, they are obeying. Jesus said, you are the servant of whom you obey. Now, when you obey things of the enemy, you sow things of the enemy, you're going to reap that. One thing I say, and I'm going to continue to say this, Satan doesn't love anybody. The devil, demon, foul spirit, unclean spirit, hate everybody. So what do you think they're doing? They're trying to destroy everybody. Jesus said the thief comes but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Those three things is what the enemy comes to do. So if you sow into the enemy, you're going to reap death, destruction, sickness, all kinds of evil is what you're going to do. Now, the devil has deceived so many people that the enemy has you to sow into his things, into his kingdom. And then when you reap what he puts back on you, then he tells you to blame God. Why are you blaming God when you've been sowing to the things of the enemy? Why? Why don't you blame the devil? You've been sowing into his. When you sow into the flesh, guess what? You're sowing into the kingdom of the enemy. So when you're sowing into the kingdom of the enemy, the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of the devil, you're going to reap things from the kingdom of the devil. That's what's going to happen. Because you reap what you sow. But when you sow into the kingdom of God, what are you going to reap? You're going to reap the blessings of God. You're going to reap the righteousness of God. You're going to reap the kingdom of God. You're going to reap the Spirit of God. You're going to reap the fruit of the Spirit. You're going to reap the gift of the Spirit. You're going to reap grace. You're going to reap blessedness. You're going to reap good things. You're going to reap the richness of God in the Spirit. That's what you're going to reap when you sow into the kingdom of God. Look, sowing into the kingdom of God, I want to say this, is not always dollar bills. It's not always money. It's the fruit of the Spirit. That's part. Love. Gentleness. Meekness. Temperance. All those things. Those are things of the Spirit that when you give out, you sow that, you're going to also reap that. All the various giftings of the Spirit, nine gifts of the Spirit. God gives that. But when you sow that, you also reap things of it. You're going to reap things of it. So, I want you to be encouraged in that. Whatever you sow into the kingdom of God, and I know there's people out there that's going through some things. I've sown a lot into the kingdom. The blessing is coming up. But remember what we said. It depends on us. And it depends on the germination of what you sow. But one thing about it, God promised that when you sow into the kingdom, you will reap. If you faint not, people of the Most High God, I'm suffering right now. And you think that God has abandoned you, he has not. And he will never abandon you. God will never turn his back. Jesus Christ will never fall. He will never leave you. He will never tell you, no, I'm not going to be by your side. Jesus Christ will always be with you. Hold on to that. Don't let the devil that God has abandoned you, that Jesus doesn't love you, and that his Holy Spirit is not walking with you. You've sown into the kingdom. You have given your life to Christ. So Christ keeps his word. Say, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The kingdom children of the Most High God, and you will reap. You will reap. You will reap. But you got to remember, you're reaping not so much down here in this world. This is not our home. What does Scripture say? We're pilgrims, and we're strangers in this. Our real home is with Jesus Christ. Our genuine reaping. Our genuine reaping is in the kingdom of the Most High God. Our genuine reaping is eternal life. Now, eternal life is something that we really don't understand. We can't even really begin to describe. But the Scripture tells us when we sow into the kingdom, when we sow into the spiritual thing, that we reap eternal life. Now, in reaping eternal life, that's the benefits of that in the manifestation of the things of God in this and peace and in some hell. But that's only a tidbit of what the Lord has for us. That's just a little bit. This life that we're living right now, the things that we're doing for Christ right now, the life that we're living for Christ right now, the things that we go through for Christ right now, is just a small tidbit of what God really has for us. We can't even imagine what he asked for. But the scripture tells us that I have not seen, my ears have not heard of the good things that God has prepared for them that love him. For those that have given themselves and sown themselves and sown what they have into the kingdom of God. We can't even begin to describe what we're going to reap. We think. We can't even describe, we can't even bring it to our imagination of the good and wonderful and great things that God has for us in his kingdom. So nothing we do down here for the kingdom is wasted. Nothing that we sow down here on earth, we're going to reap. We have to be diligent in it. We have to have faith in it. And we have to continue in the work of the Lord, in our sowing. We reap what we sow. I want you all to do the things of God. You're going to reap the things that you sow and the things of the Spirit. Continue sowing. Continue sowing. Don't be disheartened. Don't give up. Because you shall reap. I got to stress, I have to stress that. You shall reap if you faint not. But in order to reap, you must sow. If you don't sow, you won't reap. But when you sow, you reap. What are you reaping? Grace. Things that you can't even imagine. I'm going to close it up with this. And it says that, how long do they reap the benefits of the teaching now, but they're sharing insurance that they will reap benefits eternally. Hear that? If someone would dare to object that the teaching they are receiving is not that of present prosperity, Paul would have the present benefits are peace and mercy, Galatians 6:16, and eternal life that endures forever. Now, in conclusion, presented function, it's not easy for us to obey Paul's instructions, but since how long has it been since you personally felt that you had a part in sharing with those who teach. As a practical matter, it is unfortunate that the payment of institutionalized. Now, in sowing and reaping, to the one that gives you the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, in truth, not something false, not something that's teaching, pulling you away from Christ, but something that's pulling and teaching you to go to Christ and be strengthened in Christ. In other words, you should sow to ministers and pastors and preachers. And as a part of that, in putting the gospel out there. And so when we sow, we sow that the gospel of Jesus Christ will be promulgated out there, will be pushed, will be elevated, that people will be saved and get saved. That's the principle of sowing. It's not just about getting what you want. It's about others being tested, about others getting saved, about others being filled and moving according to the things. Now, at that, I'm going to close it out. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I ask right now that you touch every listening person out there. Bless them, Lord. Let them see the benefits of their song in the name of Jesus. Right now, we come against every spirit that will try to steal from God's people. that would try to hinder God's people. We come against every spirit, hindering spirit. We bind them up. We cast them out in the name. We come against every spirit of infirmity. We come against every spirit of depression and oppression. We bind them up and we cast them out in Jesus' name. Father God, we ask that you continue to put a spirit of revelation in your people, that they will hear your word wholly in their heart in the name of Jesus, and that they would operate in it and act in it according to your word in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, we're going to come back live on the 17th with another wonderful word of God. Be blessed. Amen and amen.